Let us open our Bible once again to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to read chapter 31, but we're just going to emphasize or read one verse. So it's Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we're going to give a reading to verse number 8. Again, Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. The Word of God reads like this. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful rain that you have given to us, Lord, on this day. Lord, we thank you, Father, because all that you give to us, Lord, is always good. And we acknowledge that, Lord, and we receive it, Father. As today, Lord, we receive the message that you have for us, Lord, a message of hope, a promise of, Lord, of your companionship, your presence always in our lives. Times every day, Lord, the days are getting difficult and more difficult. But, Lord, it's even more difficult when we live these days without your presence inside of us. So we ask you today, Lord, that the message that you give to us, Lord, the reminder, O Lord, of how your glorious presence is always with us, Lord, may it always be engraved in our heart, Father. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit guide us through today's message. May the words that proceed from my lips always bring you the glory, Lord, but may they also edify your people. Because all this I ask in the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So the theme that we're talking about this year is the growing roots of unity. But in the first Sundays of every month, I take a little deviation from that major theme, but I also go into a sub-theme because today is the first Sundays of every month is something that we celebrate, which is Communion Sunday. So as you see before you, we have the table set up for our communion, which will happen a little bit later on. But today's message and the series of messages that I'll be bringing in the first Sundays of every month is one that it's called Reunited at the Cross. And Reunited at the Cross is one of those messages, is one of those series of reminders that God has always given to us, has always provided for us, that we should never, although we just see this cross every Sunday, I mean, how many of us pay attention that there is a cross there every Sunday? I mean, sometimes we probably the first day when we put it out there, oh, there's something new. There's a cross there, you know, and you saw it. But then as time eventually went forward and time went on and years have now gone, because it's been there for more than a year, 2 years, it's like all of a sudden it phases out, right? And I think that's one of the problems that we have here as we live this world, that the more we see it, the more it's there, it just kind of phases out. And then because it's phasing out, we end up forgetting about it. And then it takes God to remind us that he is always there. That cross has always been there. You may not have seen it. You may not have paid attention to it. But the cross has always been there. And so is the case with our God. I mean, we are so used to living our daily lives. Sometimes it's so full of treachery and just pain and anguish and preoccupations about this and heavy laden about that. And it's just things after things after things that all of a sudden we forget. Our hearts begin to get worried about circumstances on all these problems, but we forget the most valuable promise that we have found at the cross. And that glorious promise, one amongst many, is that the promise that the Lord said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." See, and that is something that as we live today's lives and as the Bible tells us, every day has its own worries. Every single day we're worried about something and something is happening and something is going on with our lives, whether it's finances, whether it's issues, whether it's personal issues, whether it's work, whether it's food or something or the political agenda, however the, you know, may worry, whatever takes the sleep away from you or that peace away from you, we always have to be reminded that the Lord said, "I am always here with you." And when you are constantly reminded that His presence is there with you, then you know we get the little pick-me-up every morning that even though today I'm tired, Lord, and Lord, I would just rather stay home with seven of those, you know, blankets on top of me and just leave me alone kind of thing. I know that as soon as I remove those covers, Lord, your presence is there with me. And that is how we are to live today. And that is why today, especially today, you exactly thought of that, right? And that's why I see all those smiling faces, right? Oh, some of you guys. Oh, well, maybe after today's message, that little upside down smile will turn into a right side smile, right? But that is what the Word of God is all about. I mean, yes, we do not have the voice of God as such as my voice is telling you, but His voice is conveyed through me, so you get to hear my wonderful voice, okay? And if you don't like my wonderful voice, well, there's always the written voice, right? So you choose. No. But it's always here. The Word of God is there to inspire us, to motivate us, to get us going. I mean, the Word of God is God's actual words in written form. How many of you guys believe that? Yes. You have to believe it. We have to believe that this is the spoken Word of God in written form. And this word here is not for the unbelievers. This written word here is for you, the believers. It's for you guys. It's for us. It's through it that we find our, what we call our basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible, right? It's your basic instructions before leaving earth, which is what we need in order to get us through all of this drudgery, all of this pain, all of this anguish, all of this, you know, pain that we go through in our daily lives. This is why this book has to be the most important part in your life, because it's God's spoken word. And all of this here, He wrote it to me. Oh, but you're saying He also wrote it for you? Exactly. He wrote it for you. He wrote you a special message in that Bible, in His word, that is specifically catered to you and to your needs. It shows us how to live our lives with integrity before the Lord. It's transforming. It's correcting at times. It's inspirational. But most importantly, this word just doesn't stay there. It's also applicable to our daily living in our lives. And mind you, first century here, 21st century now, and it's still applicable to our lives. And that's because God, when He inspired it, He already knew the whole panorama. He already knew the whole timeline, so therefore He could write to those Christians in the first century. But at the same time, He can also apply His message to those Christians in the 21st century, now 22nd, 23rd, or 24th, until He picks up His church and we're all gone. He's seen the whole panorama, so that's why He's able to write to everybody and be applicable to everybody there. Because there's a lot of people out there that try to discredit. Excuse me while I make a mess up here. They try to discredit this word and says, oh no, that's just an ancient word. I mean, times today have moved on. Culture has moved on. There are brand new things in life. There are things that we have to encounter that the Bible doesn't talk about. True, but the essence, the core of how to live those is still the same thing. Still the same truth. Truth is truth, no matter what time you see it. Okay? The truth is always the truth. It's not going to change. It's not going to alter as time goes on. So the Word of God is not just a simple book to pick up and read at leisure. It's a book that has a special message from God Himself to His people. And that is what we are to begin to see. That is what we are begin to hope and to pick up on. The Bible was not written, like I mentioned before, for the unbelievers. It's a holy book for believers because it contains the love message that will encourage you, that will uplift you, that will motivate God's children to what? To persist until the end of time. See, if we don't have you ever seen those commercials, or have you ever entered into a program where you go out and do something physical, right? So, or whether you're doing like a diet plan or something like that, the first thing that they always try to do on the internet, if you get it through the internet, is like they always want to apply a coach to you. You know, they always want to apply this group there, this help group that will encourage you to keep on going, See, their whole essence or their whole motivation is to keep you motivated enough that if you keep you motivated, if you're doing a diet plan, you will continue and finish until you meet your goal. If you're doing a strength build-up program, if you go to a gym, they put one of these gym coaches there with you, a trainer, and he will then, yes, slap you silly and then call you all these many ugly names, but that's just to cause you to get angry enough to continue and persist until the end. Life has their own coaches through whatever you go so that they're always motivating you and keeping you going and going and going and keeping that burning light going so that it doesn't fizz out. The Word of God is exactly the same thing for us Christians. See, if we as Christians do not hear that you're doing a good job, I'm always here for you, don't let the troubles get you down, I will sustain you, I will uplift you, I will always be there with you, I have never left your side. If you don't hear that constantly, guess what's going to happen? Nobody loves me. Oh, it's me. Oh my God, I'm just going to have to bring an end to all of this. It's like, why? It's unnecessary. Word of God is exactly, it's our inspiration. It's what we are listening to. You're saying, but Pastor, it's a lot of words in here and there are no pictures. And the words are really small. It's like, brothers, there's a big print Bible too, right? I'm getting to that. I'm almost like two volumes before that I can get the big print, right? I'm almost there. But there are picture Bibles. You know, there, I mentioned before, I hear the Bible driving in instead of, you know, I lose out in all the traffic here in LA, but I listen to the Bible as I'm coming in. There's all these ways that I can get to the Word of God so that it motivates. Because let me tell you one thing. Have you ever wondered what is the constant command that God gives us in the Bible? I mean, look at it. Yes, it's big. Right? This one's bilingual. It's big. And have you ever wondered, wow, what is all that trying to say? Brother, the message that God is giving us to hear in His Bible is rejoice. There are, in the Bible, and I only picked up the NIV version, okay? The command to rejoice appears 154 times. 154 times. God is commanding us. Okay, it's an imperative. It's telling us constantly, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And imagine that, brothers and sisters. God, more than anything else, is commanding us to be happy. Have you ever thought of that? We never think of that. Because we're always thinking in our problems. We're always thinking about the things that are going on, what I don't have, what I wish I had, and what do I need to do to get what I want. And in the process of, we forget about the Word of God that's telling us that I am with you. If you hear God telling you, I am never going to leave you, I will never forsake you, I am always going to be by your side, how are you going to get? Of course not. You have the God of the universe, the creator of the universe, God himself who says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And if that doesn't bring a smile to your face, I don't know what would. Because he is the ultimate loving God that is there to remind us to always that he is always there. God wants you to be truly, deeply happy, not just in heaven someday, not when circumstances take a turn for the better, not when the sorrow or the darkness just finally stops. God wants you to taste real joy when? Today. Now. This is the time when God wants you to be happy. That's why when we wake up every Sunday or every day, really, even going to work, amen? Okay. Got a few more amens in there. Even going to work, we are to put a smile because God is with us. You know, I go on that freeway and I don't go on that freeway alone. God is with me. He says, I will get you. And believe me, by the time I start from Norwalk to downtown LA and I pull in and I turn off that car, I say, thank you, Lord, for bringing me to work safely. Okay, because you all see it. Right? When you're early out there in the mornings, traffic is there, and then before you know it, there's this mangled car and cars and on. They say, Lord, so early in the morning. You know, I pray for them, and then I say, thank you, Lord, for your daily protection. You know, same thing when I get back home, because it's a jungle out there. It's a jungle. But let me tell you, aside from that command to rejoice, God also has other commands that he is constantly repeating. And the essence of the Bible is that if God repeats one command, it's not like, oh, he repeated it because he forgot it. He didn't forget it 154 times, right? When you repeat a command to your son or to your daughter to wash the dishes or clean their room, is it because you forgot or you think they forgot? No, you're emphasizing. You are cleaning the dishes tonight. You are cleaning up your room tonight. Your son or daughter might forget, but you are there to remind them. You are cleaning the dishes tonight. You are picking up your room tonight, right? It's a constant reminder to do that. So God repeats in the Bible so that we are always, he is emphasizing, this is an important thing here I want you to understand. He also has another command in there for praising the Lord 70 times in the NIV. 70 times. And this is just the words. There's other variants of praise the Lord, right? But just this phrase, praise the Lord, is 70 times in the NIV. You got give thanks. Have a grateful heart. 37 times. Okay, 37 times. And then we find the message that we started out here in Deuteronomy is do not be afraid 70 times. 70 times. Because when we are happy, we gladly praise the Lord. Amen. When we are happy, we gladly give thanks to the Lord. Amen. But can you experience happiness when you are afraid? It's like very rarely and seldom do we do that. But you would experience happiness if you knew that God is with you. He says, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. So it doesn't matter if I'm afraid. Down deep inside, I know that I'm not going through this alone. Whatever I'm going through, whatever the situation might be, God is always with me. I am not going through this alone. So even though I might fear a little bit, this afraid doesn't throw me into a fetal position, tucked away in a corner or underneath a table, and not want to face reality. No, God is reminding us that he is there. So here's this difficult conflict that God wants us to resolve. And he wants us to resolve it because he has left us a glorious promise in his word. And if you repeat after me, it says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Oh, you sound so enthusiastic about that. You sound so believing. Let me tell you. It's like if you tell I love you the way you just said that to me right now, to your wife or husband, will they believe you? I love you. Go back to sleep, wake up, and then tell me you love me like you mean it. Right? Such as, I love you, Lord. I really do, Lord. You are the best thing that ever has happened to my life. Come on. So joy and fear, which is what causes us to be afraid, may seem contradictory. I mean, this kind of evokes or it kind of brings out different results. I mean, joy brings laughter. Fear brings tears. Joy results in trust. Fear results in doubt. Okay? So the message that God wants us today to really begin to grasp on is do not be afraid. This, like I mentioned, this is a real keen one out there. Now, he gives us the example that we find in Deuteronomy 31. Now, if you remember reading Deuteronomy, it's one of those tricky words for me, Deuteronomy. I have to concentrate on that word. It's talking about when Moses is now passing the torch over now to Joshua. Okay, so Joshua here, Moses is now conveying all the instructions. First, he talks to the people of the nation of Israel, and he says, I will not be going over with you as you cross the Jordan. I am not going over into Canaan. He goes, I'm not going to go there. And we all know the reasons why, right? The Lord told them, you will not cross over, because he misrepresented the Lord. So he says, you will not see what the promised land. You will not see this land that just flows milk and honey. He says, you will not be part of that. And so what he does, Moses reminds the nation of Israel in 31, actually in 31, chapter 31, verse 6, you actually get the same message that you're reading in 31:8, which Moses then repeats this message over to Israel and he says, the Lord will be with you. The Lord will not forsake you. When you cross over into this new land, he will be there with you. Do not be afraid. He is telling the nation. Then Moses pulls over Joshua and tells him, God is with you. He says, God will never forsake you. God will never leave you. A direct message to Joshua, which is the one that we're reading, 31 verse 6. But Joshua was about to take on the responsibility of leading this entire nation into a whole new land, into an unknown territory. They've never been there before. I mean, with many, many, many possible dangers that could put all of their lives in danger. I mean, and basically, Joshua is put in a position just to blindly lead all these millions of people across the Jordan and onto this territory. I mean, how would you feel? I mean, if you were placed in that position, would you say, yes, I gladly assume that role? I guarantee you not. You're placing the millions of people, men, women, children that are following you. They are now coming over there. He says, I can't do that. Would you be afraid? Yes. I would be terrified. I mean, the day the Lord called me to lead this church, I was terrified. You know, and it's like, because they're looking at me, they're looking at the direction that I'm going to provide to them. They're looking at my example. They're looking at all these eyes are just staring at me. I only got two to basically stare at one or two of you guys, but I got lots of eyes that are staring at me right now. And you don't think that's terrifying? Yes, it's terrifying, right? I guarantee you all those that have ever stood here or have ever directed here, and see this that way, it's like, you just want to close your eyes and just praise the Lord and just don't open your eyes. It's like, I wish I could preach with my eyes closed, but then I can't read my notes, right? So, but it's terrifying. So here Joshua is found and is placed in this position of doing that. Now, what's the difference? The difference is that this land that they were crossing over, it was a territory that God had promised them, the nation of Israel. It was God who gave Abraham the promise that his descendants will live in this land that he would provide for them. Joshua had the promise of the Lord that he would deliver him or them from all the enemies that they would find over in this new land. Joshua had the promise of the Lord that he would go with him. Okay, you're not going out there. You're not being pushed out by yourself. God said, I am going to be with you. My presence will always be with you. Plus, he gave him that beautiful promise that we're saying right now. He, God, will never leave you, Joshua. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. Okay? And that is a promise that Joshua felt secure coming from God. And that's what motivated him to cross over into the Jordan. Joshua, being a servant of God, and after received such promises from God, accepted the mission, and then he began to place his trust in the Lord. So, how do we build up this reliance on the Lord? By trusting in him. We have to trust in him. And how do we trust? We find it in here. In the word of God. What God has said in his word, we have to believe that it is true. I mean, we do not only trust in God because he's the creator of the universe, or not only because his word is faithful, or not only because he has the perfect record and whatever he has said or whatever he has promised, he's been able to fulfill, and not only because he has never failed. But we trust in him because his word is truth and his promises are worthy to be believed. Everything that the Lord has said has come true. Everything. 100%. He has a perfect record of every promise that he has made. He has done. I would ask you, every promise that you have made, have you kept it? Right? Difference between God and man. Okay? God is faithful. He doesn't abandon. He doesn't forsake us. He is true to his word. Man, it's a different story. Okay. So the conquest of, of Joshua coming over, and we begin reading the book of Joshua, it tells us exactly what he went through. The story of the conquest that we find of now crossing over into the Jordan is found in the book of Joshua, and it can be summed up like this. So Jericho, it finally in chapter 6 is taken over. Jericho falls. The walls of Jericho fallen down, chapter 6. Then after a brief kind of setback because of the disobedience that happened around there with a fellow named Achan in chapter 7, Ai was now captured, right? Then Gilgal was the base, and Joshua subdues all the southern part of the Canaan, and then Joshua, it mentions it in Joshua 9:10, and then the northern part in chapter 11. But in chapters 13 through 21, the land now is then divided as it was mentioned, and it should have been, into the 12 tribes of Israel. And then the climax of all of this is found in Joshua 21, verses 43, begins at verse 43, and it says like this. Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he swore to give to his fathers, and having taken possession of it, they settled there. And the Lord gave to them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all the enemies into their hand. Not one of all the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. It all came to pass. Every promise that God gave them all came true. God was with Joshua and Israel, and they saw the promises. They saw God's faithfulness, and that's how they were able to live their lives with God beside them. Well, 21st century today, you might say, yes, Pastor, but what about us now? What about us? I mean, we're not Joshua's. We're not called to take a nation over and cross over a river and, oh no, that's something different. But we're not called to do that. Let me tell you one thing. God's promises are still for us today. Because the God that you love, the God that you serve, is the same God for us in the past, today, and the future. He will never change. He is constant. The word there is immutable. He doesn't change. He doesn't change at all. This same God that delivered Joshua from the enemies as they crossed over into Canaan is the same God that has promised you, I will never leave you. I will always be there for you. He says the same God. And it's not one that he forgot. He knows exactly who we are. In fact, not only that, Jesus himself in the New Testament tells his disciples, he says, I will be with you always. And then he says, to the very end of the age. That is a promise, brothers and sisters, that you can hold on to, that you don't walk this earth alone. You are never alone. God is always there by your side, helping you confront your daily, I'm going to call them demons or problems or situations that you're going through, because God wants you to be what? Happy. Okay, God wants you to live a joyful life. And that is why unbelievers look at the Christians and you're saying, wow, you're going through all of these problems, and yet I always see a smile on your face. Exactly, because we know and we have trusted in God enough so that whatever we're going through, the Lord is always there with us. And we know that when it ends, because it will end, God will, his promises will be faithful and will be true. Amen? Okay, so let's do a little exercise here. I mean, I don't get up and jump around. None of that. Right? You say, oh no, my knee, my back. No, none of that. Take a look at verse 31, the verse that we're just reading today. Chapter 31, verse 8. And I have it up there for you, okay? And I feel, I drew a few things. It's not exactly like this is me emphasizing certain things. I want you to personalize this verse to you. Because again, this word is applicable to our lives today. Put, like I said there, put your name. Let me see if I don't. Yes, here. It says your name. Okay. So when you read it, you say your name. For example, Amancio. Then it says, be strong and courageous. Wow, that just took a whole a different kind of meaning to that verse just by adding my name in there. Because that promise was not only for Joshua, That promise is also for me, right? So Moses said, Joshua, be strong and courageous. God said, Joshua, be strong and courageous. God is saying, Amancio, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. And I'll talk to you a little bit about what that them is, okay? Because for Joshua, the them were those enemies when they crossed over into Canaan, right? So he says, but it continues, it says, for the Lord your God goes with you. He is with me. He will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. Wow. That whole verse just went a whoosh. Oh my God, right? God is telling this to me, that he will never leave me, that he will never forsake me. Right? Joshua was out there fighting warriors and soldiers, but I don't know of any Canaanites. I mean, I don't know of any, you know, people from Gilgal and Ai, and I don't have any weapons, but my wars are different. My struggles are different. My battles are different. So if I'm going to customize this verse to me, then I have to do something about that them, right? Them to me could mean marriage problems. So if the verse would read like this, and not that it is, but just an example, Amancio, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of your marriage problems. Okay? For the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you. He will never leave me, nor he will never forsake me. So whatever situation you're going through, that's what you place in the them. It could be also painful relationships. They could be at work. They could be with a friend. They could be with a relative. They could be somebody, but somebody that's robbing your joy, okay, and giving you the anguish, the pain, the uncertainty. There could be that them could also be, for us parents, it could be those wayward children, those disobedient children. And God wants you to know, he says, I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be terrified. I want you to be strong and I want you to be courageous because I am with you. Okay? I am with you. It could be also some of us that may be fighting health concerns, whatever your sickness may be. Do not be afraid or terrified because of your cancer. Do not be afraid or terrified because of your diabetes. Do not be afraid or terrified because of your heart, because of your liver, because of your mind, because of whatever is aching you, because I, says the Lord, am with you. He says, and whatever you're going to go through, I am going to be right there with you. He says, be strong and be courageous. You could also be struggling with finances, issues, whatever they may be, insert that there, and you will know that in the midst of all those things that you think are you're missing, God is going to be there with you. And you will look at your bank account, and it'll say negative 104, you know. And you will bow your head, and you say, Lord, I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to be courageous, because you have promised me, Lord, that you will be with me, and you will not leave me, and you will not forsake me. They could also be personal sinful habits. Those little things that you know are not right. That you know you're not supposed to be doing. As a Christian, you know you're struggling with it. And thank the Lord you're struggling rather than giving up and saying, oh, whatever. No, you're struggling with it. And only you know and God knows. Nobody else knows. Only you and know. Put that in there. Insert that in the them. And God is telling you, he is going to be with you. Do not get heavy laden. Do not get worried about all these situations. He is going to be there with you. Daily stresses and strains in your daily life, God will be there. And you know what? I mean, the uncertainty of tomorrow. I mean, some people just lose all of their hope because of something that's happening tomorrow. Let me tell you one thing. An old man was asked, what had robbed him of joy the most in his lifetime? Okay, what robbed him of that joy most of his in his lifetime? And he replied, things that never happened. It was that constant preoccupation of what if? What if, and what if, and what if, he lived his entire life with what ifs tomorrow? What if the world ends? What if California sinks into the ocean? What ifs, if, you know, because there's some news out there saying that, you know, Los Angeles is in, you know, we're drowning in LA. It's like a few rains, 3 or 4 days, but we're not drowning, right? But what if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? And that robbed that person of all of their joys. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, right? Living with joy is a decision that we make again and again as we continually face with all these, I call them joy robbers or stealers of joy, right? Such as worry and bitterness and guilt and negativity and all the busyness of life. These rob you from your joy. This take away the rejoiceness that God wants you to have. We confront these faith stealers. I mean, you have to confront these faith defeaters. It's going to be up to you. I mean, you have the choice to throw yourself on the floor and just wallow in self-pity or anger or maybe frustration, or you could come to the cross and allow the love of Christ to fill your troubled heart and to remind you that God is with you and that He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the cross is for. That's what the cross is there for. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and He answered me and He delivered me from all my fears. But what was the first part of this verse? I sought the Lord. You see, because we have to understand, God is always there with us. We have to take that step. See, if we seek the Lord, He will deliver us from all of our fears, and joy will once again be in our hearts, right? How many of you believe this? You have to believe it. See, because we have to begin to see it from God's perspective. We begin to see that there is like a secret code that's contained in all of God's commandment. Not just one that's repeated over and over again. Because faith-filled obedience leads us to joy. Okay, when your faith is filled by obedience, then that leads us to joy. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. It's a whole one there. I mean, David eventually found this out. And he writes this as the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than they are of gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, they are a great reward. In keeping the commandments of the Lord. This, brothers and sisters, the word of God, the commands of the Lord are more to be desired than gold because they make us happier than gold. Okay? They make us happier than gold. A lot of people have that wrong perspective about how to be truly happiness, and they think is by having, you know, a plus 104, not a negative 104, you know, because if we have money in the bank, hey, life is good, life is sweet. It's not about money. It's about having your life secured in the presence of God. See, the hope of God, one in Romans 15:13 says, the God of hope wants to fill us with joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may abound in hope. Okay? We have to fill His word into our hearts so that our lives could be enriched and filled with joy. You know, what greater example do we have than God wanting us to restore our eternal hope and joy than through the sacrifice that we have through His Son Jesus? You look at that cross, you find hope. You look at that cross, you see the joy because you know that there is hope. You know that you will not endure any pain, any anguish. This is the greatest example that God has demonstrated to us how much He loves us. Okay? And how much He's saying that I am with you through all things that you are going through. In Jesus, we can truly experience true joy because fear has been destroyed through an act of love. And that act of love is what we find in the cross.